sorry. Our minister this morning is Sue MacArthur. Sue, we pray the Lord will be with you as you take our service today.
Thank you.
I have just one notice. Next Sunday it's Leicester Atherton. And the following Sunday will be next week will be fellowship led worship. The theme of the service will be spring. If anyone has any favourite readings or music that relates to spring, please let Brenda know. There will not be a communion service on the 2nd of May. Communion will follow Rockbrook service on the 9th of May. Thank you.
Thank you, Gladys. Let's begin by praying together. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In worship, let us come to the one who offers peace and rest. Against the noise of the world, we cover our ears. At distressing sights, we close our eyes. To confusing thoughts, we close our minds. Amid the clamour of distress, we close our hearts. Loving God, your ears and eyes are ever open to our needs. Help us to worship with open hearts and minds, that we might have open ears and eyes to see the work that you call us to do and open hands to do it. Amen. Our first hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns. If you're following the words in the book, it's 109. We're listening to an orchestral version of it this morning because we couldn't find a single version of it online that had the same words that we use, apart from the first verse. So we're listening to the music and following the words. 109.
Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Acts and chapter 3. In the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1095, 1095. Acts chapter 3, starting to read at verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name, and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Amen." Let us pray together. Let's join in prayer. Lord God, whose arms are always open to us, we come before you today with hearts and minds open to receive your teaching. Lead us to understand who you are and what you have done and what you require of us as witnesses. Lord, who understands our every need, we adore you for stilling our turmoil, for being the calm in the storm, our anchor in the deep, and the safe port awaiting us always. Lord, you have always been our host. When you first came from heaven to the world we call ours, shepherds and kings were your guests. When you accepted hospitality in the homes of others, you turned the tables and became the host, feeding hearts and souls through your teaching. When you came to the disciples newly risen, you took charge and saw to their needs of mind and body. We praise you, Jesus, ground of our being, ground of our believing, for standing among us in your risen power, host to the world that is yours, not ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's repeat the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, if you want to follow the words, is number 76 in the books. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Number 76.
Thank you.
Our second reading is from the book of Luke and chapter 24 in the Pew Bibles. It's on page 1061. Luke chapter 24 and starting at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you doing? What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know of the things that happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Amen. Our next hymn is number 77. I should have told you to leave your books open, shouldn't I? Because it immediately, because obviously it follows 76. Maybe you spotted it and you did. It's number 77, Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning, Saviour, Master, King. Number 77.
Oh,
Bible records 10 different resurrection appearances of Jesus. And today we look at one of the most captivating, a story found only in the Gospel of Luke. The setting is a hike between Jerusalem and Emmaus. A couple of Jewish believers are heading home after the Passover celebration. One is named Cleopas, maybe his wife, maybe his son, but unnamed. So we're not sure who the other person is. Scholars don't know exactly where the town of Emmaus would be, but Luke tells us it's a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem. The two travellers may well have been surrounded by lots of other Jewish pilgrims making the same journey back to their homes. So it was perhaps no great surprise when another traveller joined them. Their emotions ran the full gamut that day, as do ours at times. So today, let's join those travellers on the road to Emmaus. For you see, basically, we go through the same emotional roller coaster sometimes as they did. We grow disappointed with God. But if we seek out his will through his word, he speaks to us and he clarifies his plans. Then our disappointment can turn to joy as we begin to see things from God's perspective. So let's unpack each of these segments of the journey. Firstly, we grow disappointed with God. In today's story, disappointment is an understatement. Cleopas and his companion had put much stock in Jesus as their nation's saviour. Scripture says their faces were downcast as they shared, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped that he was the one that was going to save us. They were tired of living under the tyranny of the Roman government, and they desperately wanted God to rescue them. Jesus looked like the answer to that prayer. That is, until he was turned over by their own Jewish leaders and executed by the brutal Roman government. All their hopes died with him on that cross. But the two continued. There was something strange. Women were talking about an empty grave. His body wasn't where it was supposed to be. These people were confused. They were sad, disappointed, perhaps a little hopeful, but afraid to be more so. Perhaps even angry with God for dashing their hopes, for not answering their prayers. And if we're honest, I think we can relate. Sometimes it seems that God lets us down. God doesn't come through for us in the way that we'd expect, or at least the way that we'd hope. We talk to God about a relationship and it gets worse. We pray for peace of mind and we become more anxious. We pray for enough money to get us through the month, but the cash ends before the bills. God lets us down. Bill Gothard calls this the death of a vision. He writes, "Faced with the death of a vision, a person must hold on to hope, anticipating and expecting God to work out his revealed will in one's life, even when it seems impossible. This season of waiting provides us with the opportunity to develop Christ-like character, to realise our shortcomings and our inadequacies, and to trust God to demonstrate his power and bring the vision to fulfilment." Sometimes it can take us a while to realise that the Lord is there, that the Lord can handle our anger and our disappointment and our sadness. And if we're brave enough, if we're smart enough, we might just run into Jesus on the way. Our path might intercede with his. Sometimes what we really need, to be honest, is a heavenly kick in the rear end. We need Jesus to say, as he did to these two in verse 25, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe." And thus we begin the second phase of our journey on the Emmaus Road, where God clarifies his will through scripture. That's what Jesus did here. He began to unpack the Bible of the old time, what we would call the Old Testament. And he showed these two how the prophets through the ages had predicted not only a triumphant Messiah, but also one who would suffer and die and rise again. We don't know which verses he used. Maybe he began with Genesis 3, where in the original story, God promised a descendant of Adam and Eve who would come in and deal with the serpent for good. Maybe he quoted from Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, or Zechariah 12:10, the one pierced for our transgressions, or Malachi 3:1, the messenger of the covenant. Jesus' Bible study reminds me of a famous Bible scholar and teacher, Henrietta Mears, who wrote, "No one can ever understand the Bible unless he sees Christ on every page." Jesus systematically showed them Christ on every page. You see, the first Christian believers needed a bigger picture of their Messiah. They needed to understand that as the Messiah came to suffer, at times we will suffer. But as the Messiah overcame victoriously, we will as well, as we trust in God's will and God's ultimate redemption. The early church needed to understand that God's kingdom comes not through earthly governments, but through one human heart at a time. As we forsake ourselves and our sin and throw ourselves onto the mercy of a forgiving and restoring God. These believers needed to trust that God was still at work, even if he was choosing to answer their prayers in a radically different way than they hoped. When we finally allow the Holy Spirit to speak through Scripture, God brings the adjustments that we need. We don't ask God to come round to our understanding, because God is God and we're not. God brings us to his plan. God broadens our perspective. He helps us to see the bigger picture. And so we move into the third part of our journey. We grow joyful as we align ourselves with God's will. Look at these two disciples. They had just walked 7 long, sad miles home. Then Jesus unexpectedly took on the role as host and broke the bread and offered prayer for the meal. Suddenly God opened their eyes and they finally recognised him and their hearts turned to joy. And I'm not sure why everything clicked at that moment. While they'd walked along the road with him and hadn't known him, they'd spent time with him and hadn't known him, and suddenly at that moment they knew. Perhaps it was his sequence of breaking the bread and blessing it and passing it on. Perhaps that reminded them of the Last Supper, or his blessing and breaking the bread at the feeding of the 5,000. Perhaps God had given them a time where they could believe without seeing before he opened their eyes to Jesus. We don't know why at that moment their eyes were opened, but they were. And as soon as they realised who he was gone. Perhaps they didn't need to see him anymore to understand that bigger picture. Because now they were no longer despondent. The downcast gloom was gone. They recalled, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" In fact, they were so excited, they made the 7-mile journey back to Jerusalem. I do walks around Llangollen and I can walk 7 miles in a loop, starting at home and ending at home. I'm not sure I'd want to do 7 miles back again immediately afterwards, going the other way. But they were excited, and they no doubt went at a faster pace this time because they had news to share. Christ had risen. Their faith was still very much alive. They found Jesus on their journey. And when they arrived back at Jerusalem, they found that Peter had seen him as well. All doubts were cast aside. Jesus is alive. And because of that, everything was different. Jesus makes all things new. You would think that we could learn a lesson or two from these people on the road to Emmaus. When the coronavirus hits a loved one, or the money runs out, or the diagnosis hits us hard, or the arthritis flares up, or somebody rubs us up the wrong way. Perhaps we could pause before we react. Perhaps we could let that email cool down a bit before we reply to it. Perhaps we could just step back and pause. Maybe we could search for Jesus on the journey. When we catch ourselves growing discouraged or afraid, maybe we could purposefully set ourselves on a collision course with the Lord. When God speaks through his word, everything changes. Our perspective is one of the first things that God works on as we submit to the Lord's will instead of our own. We proclaim with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Thy will be done." And we find a new sense of joy and purpose as we discover God's will. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for these two people and their running into Jesus on the road. Thank you that he cared enough to seek them out, to address their doubts, and to reveal your holy will to them, changing their lives forever. Help us to seek you out on our journeys of anxiety, despair, and hopelessness, allowing the power of your word to draw us ever closer to your master's will and to renew our hope and our joy. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour, we pray. Amen. Next hymn is number 689. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Number 689. Join together in prayer, shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we confess that when distress comes knocking at our door, all that we have learned and should know goes flying out of the window. Our minds in disarray, we fail to turn to trusted sources of help. Forgive us forgetting how to seek you. We forget your sustaining word in Scripture, your presence when we turn to you in prayer, the calm that is to be found when we seek you in community. We are sorry for turning in on ourselves, our minds going round in circles. Come, risen Lord, break the cycle of our despair. Our understanding is dark, clouded by dismay, fearful and lacking in faith. Yet we know that you will understand, Lord. Shine your light on us and banish the dark thoughts that overwhelm us. Forgive us the deeds committed while fearful and bewildered, and lead us forward in the light of your love. Lord God, who has called us to faith, in faith we pray for the needs of others. Today we pray for our Queen, who has ruled for as long as many of us can remember, and longer than many of us have lived. In her loss and her grief, may she find comfort in the companionship of others, support from family and friends, and strength in her faith in God and life eternal. For all of the royal family in their grief and change of circumstance, some taking up new responsibilities in new ways and with new purpose, and in their support and upholding of each other. For all who grieve for the loss of loved ones, family or friends, near or far away, especially those who are bereaved a long way from family, who can't travel to be with them to offer comfort and support. In their loss, in their grief, in their solitude, may they find a calm centre and be upheld by their faith, their friendship and their neighbours. For those whose bodies are ravaged by pain and illness, by disfigurement and disability, for those fearful of treatment and those waiting for treatment. We pray for those of faith and those of no faith, for those with purpose and those with no purpose in life, for those who have a clear direction and those who flounder, uncertain for life in all its complexities, for those whose mental health causes them pain, anguish, confusion and loneliness, for those who feel abandoned, unwanted, unloved and unhelped. For the countries at war with other countries and within themselves, for their people who fear for their lives and stability, for those made homeless and jobless and offered nothing but an uncertain future, for those countries where violence comes all too easily to the fore and where it is hard to grasp the real reason behind it. Remembering countries at war where their people are damaged, isolated, abused, for Myanmar, Ethiopia, Mozambique, and closer to home, for the people of Ireland and Northern Ireland, for Catholics and Protestants, those of faith and those of none. For Christians trying to work out the best way to live their lives, true to their faith, to their gospel, to their calling, trying in these days to do the best they can, pulled this way and that, trying to look beyond the present to the future, beyond their immediate neighbourhood to the worldwide family, for we are all God's children. Help us to catch a wider, more inclusive vision of the needs of the world and its people, for unless we are all fed, no one is satisfied. Unless we are all inoculated, no one is safe. For countries with surging COVID cases, for those with poor infrastructure and resources, for countries with little PPE and no vaccines and no realistic prospect of national immunisation anytime soon, for those engaged in trying to resolve such issues, no matter what faith, colour or creed, it is their need that needs to be met, along with providing sufficient food and housing, safety and stability. For ourselves, we pray that our ears may be used to hear the cries of the needy, that our eyes may be used to see the needs around us, that our voices be used to speak up for the marginalised and the poor, that our hands be used to reach out in comfort, and that our lives be used to improve the lives of others. For the world and all its people, Lord, we pray. Amen. Our final hymn,
It's number 496. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Number 496. Let us pray. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be with you." They responded with turmoil. Jesus said, "Have you anything to eat?" They served him fish. Jesus opened their minds. They became his witnesses. So, Lord, may we too find peace in your service with opened minds and hearts on fire. In Jesus' name, amen.